Today's Bible readings are from Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and also put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all kingdoms of earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judea. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judea and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them, and in any locality where survivors now may be living. The people are to provide them with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and free will offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem. Then the family heads of Judea and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, everyone whose heart of God had moved, prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And the second reading today is from Nehemiah 1, verses 1 to 10. Nehemiah's prayer. With the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hananiah, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before God of heaven. Then I said, "Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes be open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you, your day and night of your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We've acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees and laws you gave your servants Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you amongst the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, even if your exiled peoples are in the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to a place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed in your great strength and your mighty hand."
So as we've heard this week, our government will tell us whether or not the final restrictions covering our social and spiritual gatherings will remain in place or be lifted. Whilst being very much aware that Cheshire East is now in the top 20 regions in England that has growing numbers of coronavirus, we live in hope that in time there will be some return to something we can regard as normal, even if we have to patiently wait a little bit longer. All that said, I'm mindful of the things that we cannot return to. Over months, we've been looking at various ways that the new normal might be implemented as we brave up and take next steps together as a community. We've looked at Jesus' parables of the kingdom. We've looked at spiritual disciplines, and we've looked at the theme of seeking. More recently, looking at the idea of community as we await the time when we can gather together in full and without restriction. And last week, thank you, Neil, spoke from Revelation 21 and 22 as God revealed again the final and full instalment of the kingdom of God. God being with his people, and what a vision that would be. I hope that as a community of believers, we have been preparing for what comes next in the life of our church and our community as much as we are able to prepare. If I was honest, I still don't know what we will look like in the coming weeks and months. But I am ever hopeful that as restrictions lift, whenever that is, and that we can once again sing our praises to God together. And as we start to become more confident in gathering in larger numbers, that we will happily see God's footsteps and, in the words of the hymn, plant our own. I know that church is more than these sorts of things, but they've been common to us for so long that this sort of worship is something that many of us long for. Last month's Christianity magazine had an excellent article by the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. It was really just a short commentary on a book that he'd written back in 2018 called Reimagining Britain, Foundations for Hope. The article begins by quoting Psalm 137, by the waters of Babylon. There we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. Welby continues, in exile, in a strange, unrecognizable land, the Israelites longed to return. They longed to return to the familiar home which they knew and they loved. They looked forward to the day where they could go back to the land God had promised them. But the Israelites also knew that when they had returned, things couldn't go back to normal. They couldn't go on as they had been. Welby goes on to say that previous structures and ways of living and working for both the Israelites as they've been separated from God for their greed and their unfaithfulness, as much for us as we head into the unknown in an endemic COVID environment. But there's a need for change. Life is going to somehow be different, whether or not we want it to be. So I've wondered what we can learn from the Bible about going forward and growing together. I wanted to seek a way forward, based in the Bible, as to where people knew God and yet wanted to be drawn forward, challenged, if you like, in faith. And so I thought about the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, folk who believed God and made the changes they believed God was encouraging them to do as they began to leave exile from Babylon and come back to Israel. And I must say that at the outset, I don't yet really know where this is going to take us on Sundays. I think that we'll be looking at maybe different portions of these two books in the Bible, rather than chapter by chapter, or maybe even at the main characters as they help us become the community that we need to become. Ezra and Nehemiah are confusing books, actually, especially as they're not written in chronological order. There are periods of time between things happening. There are stories and letters, and things aren't really straightforward as we try to understand what's going on there and then try to translate it into our own life and story in the here and now. And today, because it's a warm day, we don't want to be stuck in front of our computers for forever. We're going to have an overview of these books, where they fit into biblical history, who the main characters are, and what is the main thrust of the accounts, that of restoring the temple, that what became known as the Second Temple, together with the restoration of the holy city of Jerusalem and the response of the people as work got underway, as it stopped and was undertaken again. And it's my prayer that over the next few weeks leading up to the summer, God will use the faith of Ezra and Nehemiah to inspire us as we begin to build forward together. And so for the next few minutes, I think it's next 7 or 8 minutes, we're going to be looking at an extremely excellent summary of these books by Tim Mackey and the Bible Project. And I'm eternally grateful to Neil, actually, for introducing me to this fantastic resource. We've used some of the Bible Project series sparingly before, and I trust that this will helpfully set the scene for us, being aware that we are all at different stages of life and levels, perhaps of fear or faith in these strange times. So, Neil, do you have that video clip now for those 7 or 8 minutes? Thank you.